Hoop ballers. Let's talk about your balls. Yep, your balls and the area around them. Let's talk about manscaped.com. Go there and use promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20. Use the promo code and go check out all the tools they have of trimming the hedges and taking care of your lawn, like the Lawnmower 3.0 with a built-in LED light to help you get into those dark thigh crevices on the inner parts. Also, the Gooch. It is hard to get to the Gooch if you can't see it. So use the LED light with the anti-tugless technology on the razor. Full long battery life. Then check out the Weed Whacker. Bring that out of the shed. Use it on your shrubs. Cut down what you need, down to bare minimum if you need to. It's got a nice anti-tugless technology just like the Lawnmower 3.0. It's also got a lithium battery. And best news of all, these things are waterproof. So that way you can do it in the shower and take care of business in the cleanest way possible. HoopBall20 is the promo code that's going to get you free shipping as well as 20% off. I recommend using it. I recommend getting the complete care kit with your free shipping and your 20% off. Spend a little extra, get a lot more. There's a good care kit there for us gentlemen, face scrub, shampoo, ball treatment, and the area that surrounds our balls. I believe there's even a pair of underwear in there for our balls. So yeah, that's going to conclude the talk about our balls. Now let's talk about bets. MyBookie.ag is where all the hoop ballers take care of their winnings and where we place all of our wagers that we post in our article in the Wager Pass, as well as our free plays and our Discord chats. Yes, MyBookie.ag. Use promo code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL. Let them know that we sent you. Hell, specifically type in my name. I want them to know. But most importantly, you got to let them know what podcast that is. And it is Today in Sports Betting. You let them know that we sent you. And then we, as a family, get to grow. And then we get to set you up to reap more benefits. And that is what's important to us because we are here to help you win money. And that is why we recommend MyBookie. Their slogan is bet, win, get paid. And it's quite simply that easy. Use Bitcoin to get going. It's a high recommendation of VM Center at Vince Miracle, our guy. It's a recommendation of me. It's so easy. Dan Bespris, the podfather, Aaron Bruski, the godfather, they get in there, they get going with Bitcoin, they get their money in and out, and it's easy peasy. HoopBall's the promo code. Use that. Let them know that we sent you. MyBookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Now, as a podcast, we have your balls and your bets covered. And without further ado, we have Today in Sports Betting.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Welcome back to another episode and another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I am your host, Devin Ellington. We're at DALE007 on Twitter. You can find the rest of the team and other show and programming notes, articles, links, all that good stuff over with at Hoop Ball Gaming. The rest of the team sticks out a lot more so than I do. We got guys that hit home run props every day. We got guys that have enlightened the rest of us on some other stuff within the Discord. The Discord servers, I think, is probably the biggest selling point for me. You know, if I wasn't a part of this affiliation, I would join Football Premium and the gaming and the Wager Pass just for the basis of having that Discord banter and the access. Especially on a night like tonight with draft night. We're going to be having a live show for HoopBall, so make sure to check out hoop-ball.com for that, or at HoopBallTweets. Come hang out with us. Don't forget the promo codes. You're going to hear me talk about those before the show. I always just like to double tap. It's the first rule of Zombieland. And then also, we're going to have, I talked about the guy that's really good about calling home runs. Well, we're going to have him on the show today, fellow hoop baller Jonathan Martinez. We're going to be talking a lot of baseball. We'll have some draft nuggets, I'm sure. And we had a really good night as a team last night. Jonathan, how you doing, bud?
Good morning, Devin. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's a lot better than yesterday, technology wise. You know, we talked about it off air, but internet gods have been smiting me lately.
Yeah, this show's been like two or 3 days in the making, so I'm glad we're finally getting to it.
Yeah. As I alluded to you, Jonathan, being kind of like our royalty and home run prop hitting, you dig into a lot of unique numbers, and that helps you pinpoint, you know, specific matchups and all that good stuff. And with a slate of games like today, you know, I'm seeing a bunch of value based off sides, totals, team totals, just narrative. As we kind of unpack this baseball card, what is probably the biggest blemish or thing that you're seeing for today's card that you're looking forward to getting your day started with?
So yesterday I kind of missed out on some golden opportunities, especially in those day games. And what I've noticed, at least from yesterday, was that there was tons of home runs hit in the early part of the card yesterday, especially in that Tigers Twins game. The ball was flying all over the place. And then even in that Cardinals and Indians game, I thought Cleveland going into that game was going to have a hard time against Kim,
That's what I'm
but
saying. Yeah.
it was the complete opposite. And Plesac was the one that was able to keep the ball in the park for the majority of the game. I think Carlson hit one off of him, but Cesar Hernandez, a guy I talked about the last time I was on here. I believe he was at plus 500 to go yard. So he was kind of a long shot yesterday.
Framil
And
Reyes
then,
got him one too, I think.
yeah, Reyes is almost at this point, Reyes is pretty much a lock. I mean, you could find, if you shop around, there's like times where you could find him at good value. I believe this week I had him. I'm not sure if I had him on Discord, but I had a personal play on him. And I was able to find him at plus 400, which I thought was insane because if you pay attention to Cleveland, like Reyes is he's a tank of a man. Like he's just a big, like home run hitting guy. And to find him at plus 400, especially the way he's been hitting since returning from the IL, I mean, it was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I love this little bit of recap that we do. I mean, there's some talking points on yesterday's games that are exciting that I want to get to. And I'll be real brief because we got a lot to unpack today. But yesterday on the Tigers, was it they were playing the Twins? Yeah. Hashtag fade hap day worked out for us.
Yeah, it
Went
sure did.
2-0 in Tigers plays, took them first five, took them full game at plus 120 on the money line. The Tigers put up 17 runs. They gave up 11 runs, I think it was. Guess which team had more home runs?
The surprisingly, the
Yeah,
Twins.
the Tigers hit 0 home runs yesterday, scoring 17 runs.
Yeah, I was on Eric Haas, and unfortunately, he came through with a three run single or double yesterday. Yeah. And he was walked about three times, which I'm pretty sure is the first time he's ever been walked that many times. But the way he was hitting at Target Field during that series, I mean, it made sense for them to just put him automatically on base almost every time.
I mean, it was ridiculous. That guy has been on a tear lately, and you've had a couple moonshots called for him. This Tigers offense in general has been pretty fun to watch as they've kind of gotten a little bit more mature over the last month. I think A.J. Hinch and the hitting staff that he's got on there is really starting to help these young guys like Jamer Candelario. Akil Baddoo still can't hit lefties, but, you know, he's starting to hit off-speed stuff a little bit better. You know, as a batter, how pissed would you be if you open that box score and you see at first you're like, damn, 17-11? Yeah, my home run props definitely cashed for the Tigers. And then you get in there and then you start looking through the box score and you see like all these runs and you see zero home runs. Like that would have just been a shitty feeling as a batter. If you like, especially Haas, you know, he missed it. Like he got it to the warning track. You know, I thought the ball was gone. I was watching the game live. So
I thought he had another grand slam for sure. And, I know Twitter was blowing up. The interesting about Haas is that he actually has done this in like half the games that have been played this season. And he was more of a like a matchup dependent kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And like you said, the Tigers have kind of turned a corner now. I think A.J. Hinch should even be in consideration for, you know, Coach of the Year. I know that sounds a little crazy, but, I mean, the job he's done, you know, especially with under all the circumstances with, you know, everything that happened with the Astros and obviously very low expectations for the Tigers this season. And somehow, some way, they're in third place in the AL Central, you know, and you got to give credit to that coaching staff, to the players. You've seen a number of guys kind of step up a little bit this season, even on the pitching staff. I really like Casey Mize. He's been up and down. And then Tariq Skubal, he, you know, a high strikeout rate for a while. So there's development there, and obviously – I'm pretty sure they have a really good farm system with all the top picks they've had over the few years, and look forward to seeing how they do. I'm a little nervous because I am a White Sox fan, and I think that the Tigers are definitely turning a corner. Give it two more years, get some more guys in there, and they might have something.
Yeah. And, you know, don't look now, but the Royals have also won six of their last seven, I believe. So, like, This is a good division, and I don't want to extend my neck too far out, but I next year, I'll call it right now, and it's just because the last couple of years, last two or three years, there's been very similar teams that I've seen going into, like, my season previews, and I'll be like, okay, that team's going to make the playoffs. They're making that second corner turn. And, look, next year, all I'm saying – health with their arms dependent. The Tigers are a playoff team next year. You know, you've seen it. You know, they've got guys that are out this year. Not Skubal, their other really good pitcher. I'm blanking right now.
I think it's Thornhill or
Turnbull. Spencer Turnbull. Oh,
there you go. Yeah, yes. There you go. Yep.
Yeah, Spencer Turnbull. Look, Tariq Skubal, Spencer Turnbull, and Casey Mize, young top three for your rotation. Don't get me wrong, but I think they're developing nicely. Skubal's cutting some of his bad tendencies out. He's already a way better pitcher than what he was last year and at the beginning of this season. So if they add another veteran arm or get like a comparable guy like what Stroman's done for the Mets, look out for the Tigers next year. I'm not saying they win the division next year, because I think it runs through Chicago for the next, you know, foreseeable 4 or 5 years. But Tigers definitely in the postseason is something I'm enlisting in to the notion of for next season.
Yeah, I completely agree 100%. At least a wild card bid, I could see them turning the corner. And, I mean, that's a quick jump from being down at the bottom to being in the at least in the playoff mix and being an exciting team to watch now.
Yeah. I mean, they did finish bottom of the barrel last year, if I remember right, in those standings. I think the Royals barely finished above them. Or it might have been flipped. I don't know. But now we're getting too far off away from today. You know, it was all right. We started with yesterday, but now we're talking about last year. But that's all my fault. I'm the bad host here. it's baseball's exciting. It's fun to follow, like, the grooves of recent history, you know, that helps us kind of down the tributary of baseball knowledge, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, so yesterday – fun day in baseball. I'm shocked you didn't get a home run prop, but, you know, like you said, late night games a lot less. You know, it seemed like we had some really great pitching matchups. I ended up pushing on the Cubs-Reds game. The Reds on the road decided to score all the runs, which they typically don't. Joey Votto's an animal. There are some red-hot batters right now. So as we move towards today – based off just recent hitting and in fuego-ness, who are you keenly putting your eyeballs onto today, Jonathan?
Well, it's funny that you talk about the Cubs and Red Series and Joey Votto. He's hit at least one home run in the last five games. Wow. He's hit two now in back-to-back games, and he just seems to be in this vintage Joey Votto groove, like –
I love it. I don't
care. Yeah, I mean, it's been enjoy to watch. I mean, I you know, even though I am a White Sox fan, I do root for the Cubs, and I'm glad that they finally are being sellers at the deadline. It's time to finally give up you know, a few of these guys that have been here for a while and give up that that championship hangover. But Joey Votto, I mean, he's kind of jumped out of nowhere into this this big second half. And I mean, you know, the Reds are kind of still in the thick of things per se, and well, obviously their offense too. What was that?
They just went and got a reliever.
Yeah, also. and I mean they you know, all season long they've had these big gaudy offensive stats. The pitching stats kind of, you know, let them down. And, you know, even Jesse Winker went on a little slump, and then Castellanos has been out. So here comes Joey Votto and says, hey, I'll put the team on my back and go off on this this home run streak. And as we've seen throughout the season, a number of guys have gotten really hot, and these home runs have kind of carried over for weeks on end. The one I could remember off the top of my head was when Kyle Schwarber got hot out of nowhere. So, yeah, I mean, it's been the more, like, unexpected guys that have been going on these, like, multiple game streaks of home runs. So he's the one that stands out to me today. And also having success against the Cubs starter, Alec Mills. And, I mean, feels like he's hit a home run on every guy that's on that roster that they could possibly throw out there to pitch. So I'm sure we're going to find him probably at a low price today because the value is definitely dried out on Votto. And unfortunately, I haven't been on him on HoopBall. I was on him on my own podcast. So and I got him at like plus three something. So, yeah, I mean, Joey Votto, I think today has to be on everybody's home run prop list.
At least on like it. And on top of home runs, I mean, he is such a good veteran, savvy, smart hitter that – and this Alec Mills kid has been struggling. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Cubs fan. I think that's like number 31 on the season. But Alec Mills is not that good. And the Reds got some pretty good success against him. I will say, Joey Votto is 1-for-12 against him. Of course, that one hit being a home run. So water levels out. With how hot he is and with how poorly Mills has been pitching over his last couple of starts, that could definitely easily tip over into like a 3-for-4 kind of day for Joey Votto. I might even look at some Reds, try to combine like some player props bets, like with a maybe like a Kyle Farmer who's been sneaky hitting good lately, with, you know, his like maybe hits, runs, RBIs prop, and then kind of stack it and pair it with like maybe Votto RBI prop, or just kind of, you know, there's different intricate narrative ways to get these Cincinnati Reds, you know, or Cubs. Well, I mean, Castillo's been pretty decent lately, so I'll back off the Cubs. But what I'm saying is it's in Wrigley Field and the offenses are seemingly alive. So at least one of them, the one that we're talking about.
Yeah, and even last night, sorry to cut you off, night on my show, my co-host, he gave out Votto plus to get 2+ hits, and he ended up getting the second hit in the top of the ninth. So yeah, I mean, there's so many ways to play, especially this matchup, because there's been so much offense on either side where you could mix match a Cub player and a Reds player. And even like you said, with the hitting props, I wouldn't even mind taking Votto on a 2-hit prop today, just in case the home run doesn't come through. You kind of have some leverage behind you, and that'll for sure be at plus money. So that would be a smart play if you're gonna play Votto to go yard, just to have a backup plan to get 2+ hits, especially the way he's been hitting and Alec Mills struggling. I think that could be a smart way to handicap this game.
Well, I'm going to do a Drax here, and I'm going to do you one better. So the thing that I've been playing a lot personally that I've really liked, and it's been pretty much only tied to Michael Brantley because I feel like I got a good read on him in the Houston offense, but I love doing player props in good positions and then using the prop builder on my bookie and selecting the, you know, and whatever team to win. It seems to add like an extra, you know, plus 100, plus 200 to the odd itself. I mean, it's technically called like a player performance double. You can find it in the specific game menu for all their props. Or if you go to the props builder, you can literally just build it up. And I've been cashing like crazy on Michael Brantley 2+ hits and Houston to wins at like plus 190, plus 200. So, yes, I really love that Joey Votto angle. And then, look, we've talked about the pitching disparity and the mismatch here between Castillo and Mills. So I'm not saying I'm on a specific side today, but – you know, I take starting pitching a lot into my handicapping. I am not the person to ask to back the Reds on the road because I've been slanderizing them all year as a road offense. But with how they're playing now and with how hot their most veteran hitter is, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Castillo's not all that, but yeah, I agree. I mean, and the Cubs right now are kind of all over the place mentally with all these, you know, trade rumors and stuff. And similarly,
a couple of these guys could be gone before the game starts today.
Exactly. You know, there could be easily, you know, Chris Bryant could get scratched right before the game, just like we saw with Joey Gallo going to New York.
Yeah.
And it could easily happen today. I mean, it's like we said, it happened yesterday. And their psyche is kind of all over the place. I kind of it's similar to how the whole thing with Seattle trading away Kendall Graveman was. Like, yeah. I think Seattle right now is like a team you kind of fade for a couple more days because that's like their main, like they're still upset about that. Like, and I don't think it's gonna, that sour taste is not gonna come out of their mouths anytime soon, and and it's kind of like whoever they play right now, and they kind of get into a tougher stretch, you know, in the next few days. So I feel like with the Cubs, same thing. I mean, the Reds seem to be getting hot at the right time, and even without arguably their best player in Castellanos, you know, the shit, you know, they still have it, you know, the boat rolling. So, you know, I would definitely try to get as many kind of props and little nuggets that you can out of this game, because the ball's been flying out, and like we talked about, the numbers and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird time to handicap, but you can also use a bit of it to your advantage. And I really hated hearing about the way the Mariners clubhouse felt about the Graveman exit. And you know what's crazy is the Mariners, if I looked at the numbers right, my dyslexia wasn't kicking me in the ass. I believe that they were over. Man, now I'm doubting myself. I thought I was looking at the standings, and they were like over 500. So it was like,
yeah, they're still in a wild card,
right? Yeah,
yeah, mix. You know, and I just thought, you know, obviously you don't send a trade within your division. Yeah. And like, then nonetheless, like while you're playing them, you know, like that was just weird, you know? And I felt like the Mariners, the way they made this like push out of nowhere. They definitely could have used Graveman, cause he's arguably been one of the best, if not the best reliever this season in all of baseball. And they could have, you know, been buyers instead of sellers, which is just weird. And I feel like it kind of devalues what these guys have done this season. And it's kind of like a slap to their face. But,
right.
I mean, you obviously are, you know, been following the Astros, and Abraham Toro, he's been red hot. Like,
how about that home run shot against his former team?
Yeah, it's already 2 days in a row. I mean, you know, he said, you know what, you're going to trade me, and I'm just going to, you know, switch a jersey with this team and play for the Mariners, and I'll keep it going. I mean, seems like, you know, it lit a fire underneath him for sure. So it might end up working out, because, I mean, he's a younger guy. Graveman's already, you know, in his 30s.
He was expensive, too. So they shaved some cap in salary by getting rid of Graveman.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a position to – you know, if they wanted to make some moves here. But, I mean, they haven't really, besides that trade, and then the flop, I guess, with I believe they were going to get Tyler Anderson, or he ended up going to Seattle.
Yeah. That would have been great for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how the deadline plays out. I'm excited. I mean, today is just a really big day in sports in general. With you know, we got the baseball card and just the other stuff going on with the trade deadline, and then obviously the NBA draft. So it's a really exciting day.
I agree. I can't second it any more than that. So with day baseball, we're gonna start seeing some baseball lineups lock here soon, and there's some guys I'm gonna be looking at. And you know, one last note with the Mariners, then I'll cap it. But I look at them as like being a half step behind the Tigers and for next year, you know. I look at them kind of similarly. And Joe Smith, you know, they were able to get Joe Smith out of Houston, which is a nice – I mean, he's old, but like he's a good veteran closer. Yes. Excuse me. That frog got jumping. And with that being said, Houston added 30 saves from relievers that they brought in on those deals that they just made.
Yeah, they picked up Garcia from the Mariners. I mean, from the Marlins as well. Excuse me. Yeah. So I mean, Houston, they just keep making trades every year, especially around the deadline. I mean, you know, you saw how the momentum played out when they got Verlander from Detroit a few years ago. And obviously, these trades aren't to that magnitude, especially for name value. But, I mean, it's always key to get that relief, that bullpen help, especially around this time. I think that's one of the more like underrated things about like the deadline, is like what relievers get moved, because a lot of people, if you're not a, like a true baseballer, like a guy that's paying attention to these things and guys that are coming out of the pen, like moves like this are like the key ones, especially come playoff time. You know, you could throw different arms out there and just, you know, lock down those innings, have those, you know, 1, 2, 3 innings, or just have a setup guy and then the closer to just lock things down, which is key. And obviously Houston's kind of, you know, perfected that every deadline. They make these big moves, especially pitching for their pitchers, you know?
Yeah, and then the Yankees continue to just go get bats, even though pitching's been their downfall every year at the playoffs.
That one didn't make sense to me. I just
they love their left-handed power hitters. Don't get me wrong. They want the guys to pull the ball over the right field wall in New York. But it, to me, it's stupid. Like, it's just the basic Yankees complexity again. Bankies. We got the freaking money. Let's just go get the biggest guy, the biggest name on the trade market. And, I mean, I get it. Their hitters have been not that healthy or performing that well and whatnot. But go start with relief pitching. You just blew a no-hitter for your guy and then lost the game against your rival, the Red Sox, in your own division. What do you think is going to freaking happen in the playoffs? You know, like, I don't
know. I mean, they're not gonna, I don't even think they're going to be even in the playoffs. But that's right. – That's just me, and like I totally agree 100%. It's basically we're gonna win our games with our power, with our bats, but at the same time, like,
we're gonna blow our games.
Yeah, we're just gonna blow it up. Yeah, like, you know, their bullpen's terrible, and I mean, even Chapman hasn't been you know, to his best, you know, playing to his best ability. I'm surprised that they haven't made any moves within the market.
Starter.
Yeah, at least another starter or relief pitcher. I mean,
someone under the age of 35.
There was so many other teams that I would have assumed Gallo would have fit perfectly on. Me personally, I mean, I thought the Giants would have been nice.
Dude, okay. Yes, I feel like I was the only one thinking or saying that, but I was hoping that they were going to be an awesome little dark horse to get him. That would have been just – if that would have happened, I probably would have locked in Astros Giants in the World Series.
But I still have a feeling that they're in play for Chris Bryant. There's something that's just telling me, like, they waited patiently and they decided, hey, we're going to get the guy that could obviously move around now, because I think KB's value is at an all-time high. Obviously, with him playing so many different positions, even yesterday they shifted him to second base, I believe. Yeah. So, I mean, he's at an all-time high, and even with them being so successful and surprisingly being one of the top teams in all of baseball and home runs, I mean, you throw Chris Bryant in the middle of that lineup, and he could get on. You know, he makes good contact. He's a guy that could get a lot of doubles, get on base, and then also have pop. So I think he's the perfect fit, and I think that they kind of played it out smartly, you know, just waiting patiently and seeing other options, obviously, whatever else is on the market. But now the names that we assumed were going to get moved, you know, that list is kind of dwindled down. So now it's like Chris Bryant is the guy. Like, he's the biggest piece at the deadline that'll be moved. And I think it's guaranteed that he'll be moved. But if he goes to the Giants, man, I think you have to lock in a Giants, Astros, World Series here.
Yeah, I really like how the Giants have come from out of nowhere. And, you know, in the preview article that Blake and I did, we had San Diego, which my naivety got us there, maybe thinking, like, overzealously, like, oh, yeah, the Padres, like, they're polarizing. They're the best thing that can go against the Dodgers. We thought it was like a two-horse race. So I love the fact that the Giants have kind of just snuck up out of nowhere. You know, they're still losing a lot of games to the Dodgers, though. I mean, they got to handle that stuff. But they are second in the majors behind Toronto with home runs per game. one and a half. Toronto hits 1.55 home runs per game. So San Francisco, man, yeah, they I think you're right. They got some definitely sneaky angles to look at, trying to keep their plays close to the vest as they move on post deadline. And then also, like, their pitching and defense has been great, but I would say look for them to maybe sneak around and grab a, you know, starter or a mid-level guy or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs, everyone keeps talking about, like, there's potentially a package deal with Brian, both
Kimbrel
and Chris Bryant being moved. So there's a lot of teams that have been thrown out there, even the New York Mets are one of the teams that have been named. But there's, I mean, even if they get like a Jose Berrios from Minnesota, I mean, I think that would be nice for them as well. He's had an up and down kind of year, but he's still a guy that could give you 6-7 innings. And I mean, I think he's kind of, when he's right, he's really good. I mean, he's been an all-star, and, you know, I had him as a dark horse to win the Cy Young this year. And he got off to a really good start, but Minnesota's just been a dumpster fire in general this year. So if they could get a trade like that, or, you know, so maybe someone else, then, I mean, it just only boosts their chances. And they're still not even the favorite to win their division on the betting market, which is insane to me, because the Dodgers, as good as they are on paper, I mean, they have real pitching issues as well in their bullpen. I mean, And you would expect them to address that, you know, in the deadline. They've been relatively quiet. But, yeah, it would be interesting to see what happens. We got obviously a day left pretty much till the deadline is up. And, you know, we'll see who ends up moving where by tomorrow.
Yeah. Couple last tidbits of trade deadline that we need to break down some of today's card. I think we've just been enjoying unpacking 2 days of – show planning. So my favorite trade that's happened so far, because I like both players, and I think it was honestly just a win-win for both teams. It was a good old-fashioned swaparoo, and that was the A's and the Marlins making a deal for Jesus Luzardo, as well as him being shipped off, but them getting Marte in return, Starling Marte. Marte, probably outside of Gallo, one of the more sought after bats in the market with what he offers as a complete player. He can play any position in the outfield. He's got a cannon. He's got great fielding. He can also hit, but he's also got great vision at the plate. He's got speed. And then also, I think what worked out really well for the A's was trading Jesus Luzardo. This is a kid that I've been high on since I watched him throw a pitch for the first time, going back to last season. He's a young kid with team control. And then the A's just couldn't really find a place for him. They tried him as a starter. They tried him as a mid relief guy, as a setup guy, as a closer. You know, they tried. And I think they just had too many other pieces. And the kid got hurt at untimely times. And he also had some bad outings just when they were really looking for him to kind of take off. Not a bad mark on him. Overall, this is still one of the best, I think, pitching prospects in the majors right now. And his service time is what's big here, is Miami's getting a good deal in regards to his service time and team control aspects of his contract.
Miami just continues to load up on these pitchers. I mean,
they're the fish with arms.
Yeah, they just have a abundance of pitching talent. It'll be interesting to see if they could get Luzardo right. I mean, he's only 23 years old, and they're obviously in no rush to throw him out there, or you know, obviously depend on him to win meaningful games. They're kind of in a weird position, because I feel like they could easily trade away Jesus Aguilar and Adam Duvall here, and continue to load up on young prospects and guys that have a lot of potential. So I mean, they were in the playoffs last season, and I don't think anyone expected that because they had a bunch of just guys that no one really was paying attention to. They didn't have like great name value, but surprisingly, you know, Aguilar and Duvall are up there in RBIs. They're basically, I think, like 40% of their offense has come through those two batters. And in regards to this trade, I mean, Marte has always been a very good baseball player, you know, especially going back to Pittsburgh and getting him out there with Mark Canna out in Oakland and putting him in the middle of that lineup with Olsen and then Matt Chapman Chapman seems to be waking up here. He was a guy I was high on, I mean, coming into this year, and he's kind of been a letdown, but he's gotten hot in July, and putting Marte on that team, I mean, that was a great pickup. They definitely had a need in the outfield, and they addressed that to the core, and obviously they're trying to make a push in the AL West, and it worked, like you said, it worked out beautifully for both sides. It was an even trade. I'm sure a lot of people know who Starling Marte is. And then, you know, you look into Lizardo's background, and obviously he's a top-level prospect. And it's just a matter of figuring things out. And the Marlins are, you know, notorious for being like pitcher whisperers or gurus, whatever you want to call them. And they just have abundance of great pitching that they could use for the next 5 years.
Going all the way back to the bowels of – Josh Beckett. Oh, that sounded but like, okay. The bowels of history for the Marlins. I can't really use that saying if you're going to talk about a person, because we literally have bowels. Josh Beckett, and then of course Dontrelle Willis, and then now, you know, it's I like to see the tradition and history to kind of keep forth. Yeah. All right, but let's get into some specific games today. Let's roll through some stuff. Probably pick the pace up a little bit here because we want to get into some NBA draft chatter, which I'm excited to get into. Okay, so I'm pretty much just going to start with the first game, get organized here in regards to time structure and the card itself. Let me get...
Yeah, we could be here for days talking about all sorts of stuff.
We could do a podcast on the Lizardo Marte trade. I mean, that was a good, like, 20-minute banter session we could have had.
Yeah.
And you know, me being a terrible host and jacked up on caffeination and coffee and stuff, squirrels are all over, and I'm just trying to look at all of them. So okay, so this 11, I'm just gonna probably lop some of these games off out of my personal interest, but if you do have a talking point, please do put the boot down. Okay. Washington, Philly. Scherzer, look, he may not make this start. I'm just saying, it's getting close. Maybe this is the Nationals have a deal in place, and this is like his last start, and they know that. And Scherzer's like, look, if you're going to trade me, it's going to be after I make a start, you know, because he's got every say in this. But a lot of weird stuff around this. The team history, you know, just this intradivisional matchup. I mean, there's some good individual numbers and exposure against Zach Wheeler. Obviously, these teams see each other a lot. Washington started at -130, -140 now on the money line. 8.5's the total. Lost a nickel on the shade, so it was -115, -110, but no total number movement. Again, this is the first game of the day, 11:05. Good pitching matchup if it happens with Scherzer and Wheeler, but overall just too weird of a game for me to get involved with.
I'm not even sure if this game even happens. I mean, I don't understand what MLB is doing as far as the protocols and stuff. Obviously, Trey Turner was pulled out during a game and apparently tested positive, and then they postponed the game yesterday because there's an outbreak. So I don't know how they'll manage to play this game today. We haven't really heard about what players are in protocol besides Turner or anything like that. You mentioned Scherzer being potentially dealt. I know yesterday everyone last night on Twitter was blowing up about how he was supposed to be moved. By the end of the night, it obviously didn't happen.
He squashed the net stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – I don't even know if this game will be played. So, yeah, I'm on the same boat. I didn't have any plays for this one because ultimately it's a doubleheader for one. So we're losing – if you're looking at the home run props market, we're losing at least an at bat for every guy that's going to be out there. And obviously you could find some value because these numbers are going to be juiced up if you know, the books offer home run props in this game. But ultimately, I just think there's just too many uncertainties, just like you, and I'm going to stay away from this first game.
Perfect. I will say, if the game happens, the under has some good value in it, just for the simple fact that you got dominant arms and you got a lot of in and outs and a lot of uncertainties with the lineups. Yan Gomes is questionable for the catcher position for Washington, and then they're already down. Or Knapp's going to be out. He's on the paternity list. So offense is going to be a little shaken up today. People playing in different spots on defense. Focus is going to be a little scattered. So I might look at a first five under, maybe a full game under. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, the day games, I mean, they besides now, because it's obviously the weather's kind of played a factor into all this. But coming like usually the day games are a lot slower. And I mean, you also have to factor in it's a 7-inning game. And like you said, a number of different pieces being shuffled around and potentially not too much offense on the national side today with a few of their key guys out of the lineup.
Yes. Atlanta and New York, the Mets. We were talking, I say we, but Blake and I just loaded a play of his on this game. He got the first game in on the wager pass. Drew Smyly, who I've been enjoying fading this year, but he's put together a couple good starts lately. Taijuan Walker, who has kind of gone the opposite direction. In this intradivisional matchup also, which I think I've just come to find out that I'm not that great handicapping this division because it is such a weird dog-eat-dog division. I was originally looking at a New York Mets first five play, but the juices in the market was just a little weird squeeze. And overall, again, this division really does not blow my rocks up or socks or rock'em sock'em or whatever the saying is. In any way, you know, I was looking at some angles. I do like some DFS stuff for the Mets, is like some sneaky plays against Drew Smyly, even though he's trending up. You know, so long story short, I don't really like this game either. And I don't really have a play on it.
Yeah, I'd say for DFS purposes, you could definitely get James McCann in the lineup for you or our listeners. You guys are going to play the early games in DFS. McCann has 9 hits against Smyly in 9 at-bats. He's got 2 home runs, 4 RBIs with a slugging percentage over 1,000. So he's hit him well over his career. And even with that home run, those 2 home runs, could potentially be looking into getting some playing a long shot with McCann and Goyard today.
Yes. I love McCann. I was looking at him in a couple different spots. So McCann or nothing. So
I wish he was still with the Sox. I think he would have played a big role with our injuries, especially with Grandal being out. I was a little disappointed that they couldn't bring him back, but he's a good catcher and he's kind of like been a little bit of a letdown in New York, but I mean, he was always a backup catcher. It wasn't like he was this starting, you know, all-star catcher. It just kind of worked out when he came to Chicago because he used to kill us when he was in Detroit. But yeah, he's a guy that I could pinpoint today and putting in, and he'd probably be at a reasonable price. So you could kind of load up on, on some guys.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was around 4,000 or something, like 4,100 on DraftKings. New York, the Yankees, showing off, you know, their new toy. Maybe I think Gallo will probably play in this game. Gerrit Cole is on the mound. And then the Rays are sending out Luis Patino. 5.26 ERA for Patino. 1-2 record. Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. He didn't look as sharp his last outing. So what I think is he probably locks in and is really efficient, does really well. Today, he tends to go up and down. If he has a crap start, the next one he's just like pissed and determined. And then vice versa. If he has a good start, or he, you know, throws 120 pitches, his next start, he usually has some of those control issues. His patience is a little less. I will say that G-Man Choi owns Gerrit Cole.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you brought him up.
So I'll let you talk about that because you're our props and home run guy. But I noticed that G-Man Choi just absolutely loves hitting Gerrit Cole.
Yes, so I'm currently looking at my bookie, and they do not have a G-Man Choi home run prop up as of yet.
I'm assuming that that will change once he's put into the lineup today and the lineups come out. But as you said, Choi has had tons of success against Gerrit Cole, and he's hit three home runs with 8 RBIs and 12 at-bats. So I think Choi is in a prime position to go yard today. And he'll definitely be on my list today for home run props on the wager pass. So I'll have a write-up for that, get a little more in-depth since we're a little short on time here and trying to run through the play. So I'll just leave it at that. But, yeah, three home runs against Gerrit Cole. Should be in the lineup and probably get a good number on him.
And in a little bit before we move on, over the last 7 days, he's hit two home runs. So coming into this
matchup, hitting pretty well on top of having so much success against Cole over his career.
This is a good spot for him. He's the only person out of the Tampa Bay hitters that has more walks than strikeouts against Gerrit Cole. Granted, he's got 3 walks and 2 strikeouts, but it's a lot better than Kevin Kiermaier's 9 strikeouts and 2 walks, or Nelson Cruz's 6 strikeouts and 0 walks, or Austin Meadows' 8 strikeouts, yeah, and 0 walks. G-Man
Choi, Zunino.
Zunino, man, 11-1, or yeah, strikeout to K's. Look, 667 average, 733 on base plus slugging, or I'm sorry, on base percentage, 1.667 slugging, 2.40 on base plus slugging, 910 WOBA, and 1,000. You hear me right? 1,000 on ISO against Cole. That is crazy. So,
yeah.
G-Man Choi.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, I'm looking – as of right now, I'm looking at the lineup card for today, and for whatever reason, he's not even in the starting lineup.
Oh, man. So, maybe it's a Choi.
That's really disappointing. I think we could have gotten a really good number on him today, but unfortunately, he's not in the lineup.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's a late scratch. G-Man Choi, if he's not in there, Yandy Diaz offers the best next best kind of personal experience against Gerrit Cole. Not really looking to talk about New York's bats too much. This 1-10 game featuring your White Sox going against Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. They're getting a favorable matchup here. Rodon, the lefty, going up against Carlos Hernandez. 6.04 ERA, just kind of like a fill-in stopgap for the Royals. Is this a run line and White Sox team total play kind of day? Or, I mean, it's 95 degrees in Kansas City. It's going to be hot and humid. So I think the ball could be popping, but the players, I mean, maybe that heat drains them. So I don't know what to make of the total.
Man, the Sox have been kind of tricky to figure out the last couple weeks. I mean,
especially on the road.
Yeah, especially on the road. And KC always, every year, it doesn't even matter what the scenario is, if either team is in the mix or not. Always give the White Sox a hard time. Obviously, the Sox do have the advantage with Carlos Rodon on the mound. But yeah, I'm kind of cautious about this game, just especially the way it played out last night. Because I was disappointed that Giolito had such a great start. He's been really disappointing this year. He's probably gotten lucky that, you know, Lance Lynn and Rodon have had really good years to kind of take that pressure off of him. But I'm gonna stay away from this game. It's just the White Sox lineup has been so up and down lately. I'm waiting for them to make a move to get either another power bat in there or somebody that can get on base, especially at second base. So I'm gonna stay away from this, even though I could see KC with that weather hitting a few bombs here, even off of Rodon. Sal Perez, for whatever reason, has been lights out at Kauffman, and that's usually a pitcher's ballpark. So I think around the Derby, they were saying that he's actually lost about like four or five potential home runs just at home. So his total could even be higher than what it is, but he seems to be hitting the ball well at home. He hit one last night to tie up the game in the ninth. So potentially going in on a Sal Perez prop, but more than likely just staying away and just keeping an eye on the game and see who does well and what the outcome is.
Absolutely. I'm kind of in the same notion. Salvi, 340 against lefties for what it's worth. He's pretty much the Royals' best threat against southpaws. So Dodgers, Giants at 245. David Price, they've kind of been using him as an opener. Going against Johnny Cueto, a couple of old heads. Dodgers minus 125 on the money line, 8.5's the total, minus 115 shade on the over. You know, a lot of these early games are offering some kind of just weird, you know, angles. The market's being weird to me, you know, with the numbers and stuff. So I'm being a little finicky and picky today, I think, but like, I honestly just don't see much in this game either. You know, Mauricio Dubon hits lefties pretty well. I might look at like a sneaky, just small little, Giants play somewhere, like maybe with Wilmer Flores's total bases, or Buster Posey hits 394 on lefties. So maybe Buster Posey can maybe, you know, get one out against David Price. But he's questionable, so – Brandon Crawford's also questionable. Lamonte Wade Jr.'s questionable. So, I mean, look, I don't have anything here.
I would say another guy that potentially could do something in this matchup would be Darren Ruff. He's
rough
more
and
of a,
tough.
Yeah, rough and tough. He's a platoon kind of guy, especially against lefties. He's had a lot of success this year, 6 home runs. Slugging percentage over 600, batting 297. So yeah, I mean, Ruff could be a guy that could potentially hit one a long way here. And for what it's worth, some of my research that goes into these props that I give out is success during, you know, if it's a day or a night game. And for what it's worth, he's hit 5 of his 10 home runs during day games, with a 681 slugging percentage. So it's a lefty matchup going against David Price. It's not like Price throws hard stuff. So maybe we could get one with Ruff if he's in the lineup today. So potentially playing Darren Ruff on a home run prop.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Kind of just speed gloss over the last back end of games so we can get some draft coverage top in. Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, look, Milwaukee added Eduardo Escobar in the infield, which is a great move for them. Freddy Peralta on the mound tonight against Chad Cole. Chad Cole, he's got a 4.38 ERA. So, I mean, he's been doing decent over his last, like, two starts. But, like, him in the first inning is just – him and Will Crow. Like, those two pitchers are just hard to have on your staff if you want to not let your opponent score early. So I might look – if I can find a decent number, I might look at some Milwaukee stuff to back. But the totals moved from 8.5 down to 8. So, and minus 190 for Milwaukee on the money line, that's just obviously astronomical. The run line is still minus 120. So, obviously not looking to do too much with this game. Christian Yelich out indefinitely with COVID-19 protocol. Jace Peterson as well. So, another game that I'm just going to have to bypass.
Yeah, the only play I like currently – and you can get this number over at my bookie is Freddy Peralta on a K prop. You can get him at plus 110 for 7 plus strikeouts. So I really like that one today, at least in that game so far. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Pittsburgh, they lost some of their good hitters so far with trades. So definitely looking at playing that. I like that call. So I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. I'm going to be supporting the Tigers today again against the lefty Alexander Wells for the Baltimore Orioles. Tigers are at home. Casey Mize, who we talked about earlier in the show, going to be making his start over under 10 in some spots. You can find it at 9.5 in a couple of places. Bovada's got it right now at 9.5 for minus 120. Minus 155 for the Tigers on the money line, and it opened at minus 140. You're seeing minus 160 in some spots too, but I'm going to be playing the run line more than likely, and this will be getting into the wager pass probably. So sneak peek, y'all. Minus 1.5 at plus 120. And then obviously when team totals and stuff come out, I'll look at maybe a Detroit team total again because I'm sure it'll be about 4. They got some sneaky power against lefties. This Derek Hill kid that they've been getting in the lineups got some good looks against lefties. And then Jamer Candelario. Miggy Cabrera, he's still hitting lefties. So, I mean, I'm definitely okay with backing the Tigers today, even more so on the run line. I think lots of runs get scored. Baltimore's got a pretty bad bullpen. And then if you want to play Detroit in the first 5, the pick – so them minus half a run is minus 125 compared to the minus 165 on the money line. So probably looking to support the Tigers first 5 full game again. If you want to do the, what's that called? First 5 full game bet where it's like a single bet. I can't remember what they call it, but you usually get it at plus odds. You know, that would be a good one. That'd be a good spot to look at. So that's pretty much all I got to say on this one. Just looking to back the hot team.
Yeah, I think the over is for 10 or 9.5, especially if you can find it at 9.5. I think that's pretty much a no-brainer there. Both teams, obviously, we saw what the Tigers did yesterday, putting up all those runs in Minnesota. We could see a very similar outcome here against Baltimore, who gives up a ton of runs. They could also score a lot of runs as well as they came back last night against the Marlins at home. So I definitely see a lot of runs scored in this one. And I tend to not do this, but on a day that I missed on Haas getting a home run last night, I might be on him again today because more likely than not, since he took a day off from hitting a home run for us, he'll be back on the board today. You get them at plus 250, and I'm sure if you shop around, you can get an even better number. But Haas has just been lights out against lefties all year, so I think that's a matchup that he could
take advantage of. And obviously he's been red hot. So took a little break yesterday, came through with a three run shot and with a three run single. And then today I think he could go yard at Comerica. So yeah, I like Haas to go with a home run, and then the over in the game total. I think a lot of runs will be scored.
I like that. I like that a lot. Be real brief on these last two on my opinions. I want to hear what you got to say about some NBA draft stuff. But, excuse me, Hyunjin Ryu, Erod, Toronto, Boston. I'm looking at over 10, and it's already risen up to 10.5, minus 115, minus 120 shade in some spots even. Expecting lots of runs. Toronto against lefties typically hit really well. Boston at home in general as an offense usually does pretty well. So I might even sprinkle just both team total overs on top of the over and just have like little trifecta play in that. Oakland, minus 115. They rose from minus 105. Dylan Bundy's starting for the Angels. Looking to fade him. Over 9 is something else that I'm looking at. With the way that the Athletics offense is starting to wake up, they could hit this easily themselves. The Angels has a terrible bullpen. They were featured in a game last night with tons of the biggest offensive threats for both teams being out, and yet the offense has still struggled not that much to get to 15 runs. So, Oakland money line, I'd play it all the way up to minus 120, and then I like over 9, seeing as double-digit runs is a probability in my mind in this game.
Yeah, jumping back to that Blue Jays Red Sox game, I'm in on Teoscar Hernandez to get a home run over his career against Eduardo Rodriguez. He's hit 3 home runs. He's hit lefties really well all year, over 300 batting average against lefties this season. Has done most of his damage as far as the home runs go on the road. So, Teoscar Hernandez to get a home run today. Like you mentioned, Boston, the Blue Jays have hit lefties as well all year and just hitting a lot of home runs in general this season. And then same thing with Bundy. If Bundy's taking the mound for the Angels, I like Matt Olson to go yard as well. So those are two guys I could pinpoint, even on a DFS lineup. I think those are guys that could go yard or have big games today.
Heck yeah, man! I love it. I'm just kind of getting all my DFS stuff together for today. So I usually incorporate your wager pass plays and then some stacks and stuff that I uncovered in my handicapping research. So. It all works out. I've had a winning day, I think a good 4 or 5 days in a row now. So with MLB pretty much being bookended there, I mean, we covered a lot, guys and gals, whoever's listening. But Cade Cunningham's going to be the number one pick in the draft. I mean, that's unanimous. We probably, if not, it'd kind of be shocking. I mean, there is some, lure to the kid Green being slated in at the one pick too, but I mean it's to me it's got to be Cunningham. But have you seen any betting markets on this draft stuff that you like? I think we kicked around the idea in the Discord, a couple of us were chatting about like exact results for the top 3 picks.
Yeah, so a few, I think last week I put up on the Discord for the top 3 exact order to be Cade Cunningham at 1 to Detroit, Jalen Green slotted at number 2 to the Rockets, and then Evan Mobley, who I believe is the best player in this draft, to go to Cleveland at 3. As of last week, you could have got it at minus 120, and I could double check what the market is on that right now, but with just the way everything's played out with the reports, and even though Detroit hasn't definitively said that they're going to go with Cunningham at number 1,
All signs point to that happening. Jalen Green going two makes a lot of sense because the Rockets just need, I think they need a scorer more than they need a big, even though I think the pairing of Mobley and Wood would be nice. I think that they're actually pretty sold on Kelly Olynyk, just the way he played the second half of the season. So I think that kind of changes their draft board a little bit. And Green would be nice next to Kevin Porter Jr. And then, Evan Mobley, like I said, I think he's the best overall player in the draft. And I think him and Allen, Jared Allen, that tandem, especially defensively, is pretty nasty. Evan Mobley was a guy who was obviously highly touted out of high school, went to USC, played with his brother, Isaiah, and went on a nice little run in the tournament. Has a lot of guard kind of skills, ball handling wise, very mobile big. And he's listed as a center, but I think ultimately he plays as a four, even though there's also reports that Cleveland could potentially play him at the three, which would be insane. But I think ultimately that's how the top three shape out in the draft.
Yeah, there are some definite top-end prospects in this draft. Some really great talent. Top five, for sure, guys looking to be some difference makers early in their careers. What you could call maybe a generational talent in Cade Cunningham, yet to be determined, but he put on a show in Stillwater, in the whole country, really, but had a great season last year for the Cowboys. And wherever he lands, I think he'll obviously be a difference maker.
Real quick with Cunningham, I think that he's getting some comps to like a Luka Doncic, and I don't think that's fair because I think Luka, if we could talk about this all day, but even when Luka was drafted, it's still crazy that he ended up not going number one. I could justify the number one pick being DeAndre Ayton. Even more so with the run he went on, he kind of tailed out in the finals. But Cade, I just think that he has a little bit of everything. And, some analysts have kind of been going, talking a lot about his turnover ratio. But I also think he didn't have that many, great players around him at Oklahoma State. So it's kind of he did what he could do with his talent around him. I mean, that's a lot of how it is. And he's going to have to do the same thing going to Detroit. But, I mean, they have some promising pieces there. Sadiq Bey was a really, big pickup for them. Arguably their best rookie last season. Killian Hayes has a lot of room to grow, but he showed glimpses of potential second half of the season. And then Isaiah Stewart's a man-child. I mean, that guy, was putting up like 20 rebound performances once he got the minutes there. So, I mean, they have something to work with there. Obviously, they won't be done. I'm sure they'll pick up some bets in free agency and whatnot. And then they have Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee. But Cade, obviously, overall, just has the most all-around talent, I believe, and obviously room to grow on defense. But, he's a shot creator. He can go and get his own bucket. We saw him hit big shots late in games throughout the season. And, he should be the number one pick, even though you can make a case for guys like Jalen Green and even Evan Mobley.
Oh, yes. And now all of a sudden I am ready for the NBA season.
Yeah, I mean, the draft usually kind of kickstarts the preparation for the upcoming NBA year.
Well, and then I'm sure you play fantasy basketball as well. So it's like we really just don't have off seasons as contributors or as like personal sports intakers, even in the dog days of summer where everyone's complaining, where it's just like, oh, all there is baseball and like some soccer here and there.
But like for us, it's like it's not like that at all. It's we've got so much to uncover, cover, recover all the time. College football season, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but it's under 30 days until they start. So, and then the NFL is 14 days after that. So buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be hitting warp speed in a lot of different categories here soon. So, Jonathan. So
yeah, real quick, before we transition back to the draft, I do actually have a play that I want to give out on the pod. Instead of just the top three, you could go with the top four exact order. And this is where I think there's going to be a shakeup in the draft. It's going to be at four. More so because last year, it was kind of the same scenario with the Bulls going in at four. A lot of teams had like Denny Avdija slotted there, potentially LaMelo Ball if he would have dropped to four to go to Chicago. And it ultimately ended up being Patrick Williams with a pick. I know a lot of people have Jalen Suggs going four to Toronto, but I'm one of those guys that think that Scotty Barnes is actually going to be the fourth pick today.
Yeah.
So
I could see, I could definitely see.
And my reasoning, my reasoning why that is, and I mean, and I'm not trying to sell Jalen Suggs short. I think he's a really good player. I got to catch him live at the tournament in their first round game. So the guy's legit. I mean, he's got that football mentality for sure. Decided to go the basketball route, but the guy, he's tough. He's you know, he was one of the guys that I believe only improved his stock during the championship game, because he was the one guy that I felt like didn't get caught in the moment. You know, Baylor handed it to Gonzaga the whole game pretty much, but he was the one guy that was just flying around on both sides, and the moment wasn't too much for him. So I think he's a guy that's going to transition well to the pros, but ultimately I believe Scotty Barnes has the bigger upside, and he's another guy that is being listed as a forward, but I ultimately think he ends up playing point guard. And just looking at how Toronto has drafted over the past few years with these kind of, like, you know, guys that are they're kind of out of the box thinking with Masai Ujiri. They like guys that are that have big wingspans that could you know, switch off from one to five, and Scotty Barnes fits that mold to the core. Not only that, I mean, he's just been one of those guys that's kind of shot up on boards, even though I thought he was going to be in the top 10. Obviously the shooting is the biggest knock on him, but as we've seen with their player development, guys like Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Fred Van Fleet, and even more so last season with, the evolution of Chris Boucher. I think Scotty Barnes ends up being the pick. I actually got the Scotty Barnes one to go four with the other three guys to go 1, 2, and 3 at plus 900. Down to plus 300. So there must be some type of, you know, backing on the market. So I just think that, you know, I think that that's a real possibility.
Man, immense value there on your ticket. I hope it works out in your favor. I mean, that is telling with that market drop. I mean, that is that's a big, significant number. Essentially, you know, let's see, that's more than that's like a 200% drop, essentially, almost. Lots of good nuggets there, man. If you listeners need visualization of all that vocabulary and stuff that was just used, make sure to follow Jonathan at it's J Martinez, but the 4-2 is the AR, correct?
Yeah, it's at my Twitter handle is M42TINEZ on Twitter.
There's no J. Yeah, just Martinez, but okay. Essentially just swap the 4-2 for the AR. Yes.
Yes.
Perfect, perfect. And then the Liddy Lads podcast, you know, in case there's other nuggets of his folks that you want to listen to, you'll be able to find him doing that. And then you still got to record that for today, too.
Yes, we're going to be on at noon Central Time over on the Podbean app. I wasn't sure if I was able to talk a little bit about it on here, but my good friends Connor, we get on, try to get on every day, similar to this show, and drop a lot of stuff on there. I actually gave that out, that exact four play when it was at +900. So hopefully people were listening into that. And then we, the last 2 days, we've hit on two long shot parlays. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, 2 days ago, it was me getting on Harrison Bader from the Cardinals to go yard and to get two plus hits. He ended up getting three, and that was at +900. And then yesterday with Votto and Farmer parlay, Connor ended up cashing in on that at +790, I believe. So, yeah, tune into the show. We give a lot of perspective and and a lot of big value plays.
I can second that. And since you've joined, you know, the HoopBall team and been putting stuff in the wager pass, I mean, for y'all that do not know this, but I mean, Jonathan's like plus 30 units, plus 28, plus 29. It's like, it's crazy. It's somewhere crazy up there. So,
yeah, I lost 2 units alone. Yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you lost 2 units last night. Come on. Like,
yeah.
That's, you know,
but yeah, it's.
I went 7-2-1 with a 3-unit winner. So, hey, that's, you know, teams, that's what teamwork makes the dream work, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we, I've been telling a lot of my friends, like, you know, you guys got to get in on this wager pass, you know, and a lot of my friends are relatively new to the sports betting world. And, you know, I tell them all the time, like, hey, I'm not going to send you my plays, but if you guys could do me a big solid and get that wager pass and, you know, take baby steps, not just with my plays, but with your plays as well and the rest of our handicappers. You're going to be just highly satisfied with the product, and especially the Discord. I think that's the most underrated part of the whole package is the Discord. Just the chatter that goes on through the Discord throughout the day. I think it's the easiest way to get to our top plays and, you know, and get interactive with our cappers and followers on there. So, yeah, man. I mean, we got something rolling here. I'm just glad to be back with the team. Like I mentioned the first time I was on, and you know, just continuing to learn more and more from you guys. And yeah, we, you know, even on my down days when I lose units, you guys carry it on the wager pass. So it's been awesome so far, and I'm excited for more things to come.
Yeah. When I have my 1-9 days, you definitely make up the difference. So that's the downfall of having a high volume bettor on your staff. Good thing we got an awesome home run prop guy to get that plus money back. Yeah, the Discord, we've got a guy in there that will probably be coming up to the ranks full time here soon. I don't want to spoil anything out or anything, but like, you know, yesterday, like just his stuff that he was talking about, I think he went like 7-1, 8-1 or so. And it was like some crazy stuff. Like it was some abstract betting. So it's not just totals or sides here for us at HoopBall. Then there's so much more knowledge to gain. And I gained so much throughout the day on the Discord alone. And I'm the head of the division, quote unquote, like that's the hat that Dan gave me. He literally mailed it. I'm wearing it right now. But like, yeah, it's a great community and it's a fun thing to be a part of. And then you mentioned the wager pass and stuff. I mean, the loyalty program, the membership loyalty stuff. Lock in the forever price because we're about to get into August, and then a couple weeks into August, we're going to stop the loyalty pricing, and it goes up. Like it's gonna be going up. And listeners of the show, you know that I don't really harp on the premium stuff and you spending your dollars with us all that much, because I try to respect the sanctity of a free podcast. But look, the value is there. I mean, you get anywhere from 6 to 14 plays a day from me, and then Jonathan giving out home run dingers, and Blake's an MLB guy also, and then football's around the corner. We got guys winning on Olympic plays and soccer plays and golf tournaments. So get in, get active, join the family, and join the Discord. Jonathan, I appreciate you carving the time out today and adding on to your recording schedule. I'm glad that you're part of our team. And you got any last parting words for us and the listeners of Today in Sports Betting?
Thanks again for having me on my second show here. This is honestly really exciting because, like I told you before, I was one of the listeners, and that's how I kind of knew about the opportunities to work for the company. So to be on here now, it's a long time coming for me, and it's awesome. Like you said, make sure you guys get on the you know, the Wager Pass as part of the loyalty program, and continue to ride us and expect bigger and better things for us in the future. And excited to have that capper. You know, I don't want to give his name out on here, but I did want to talk a little bit about him before he makes the jump to the with the big boys on the top plays. But him and Adam, I've been back and forth a lot because we all kind of got started on the betting stuff on the Discord at the same time. So got to talk to those guys, privately on Twitter. So I'm pretty cool with them. And yeah, I mean, it's exciting and just grateful to be a part of this this team. And thanks again for having me back on the show.
Anytime, brother. You know, you probably would have been on 3 days in a row had the internet gods worked on my favor. But, you know, shout out to Hooper over there in the Discord. He just joined up as a new Wager Pass member. So looking forward to him. I saw him join us up in the morning time today. Yeah, so steady influx of people in the growth of all this, and we love it. So let us know what we can do better or worse at. I mean, if you just want to be weird and tell us what we can do to be worse, let us know in a 1-5-star ratio, rating. So Apple Podcasts, we're almost top 10 for sports betting podcasts. Please help us out in that regard. Screenshot your review, send it over to me. I'll get you hooked up with some Manscaped products. I'll set you up a free MyBookie account, fund it or something. You know, you just help us help you. We already have premium stuff, so I want to try to help give back to the folks that are helping us out as much as I can. So that being said, I am sending you all of my good vibes and all of my good energies. Make sure to have a wonderful, joyous, and safe day today. Be kind to someone. Do something nice if you can. And Today in Sports Betting is out.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.